Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor.
And Chris McGregor.
And we have with us today Mark Hart, because it's Monday. Time again to Ask the Bible Geek. Mark, of course, Vice President of Life Teen International, a Catholic youth ministry. Also the author of Blessed Are the Bored in Spirit, A Young Catholic Search for Meaning. And Ask the Bible Geek 1 and 2. Mark leads conferences, retreats, and missions for teens and adults around the world, and graciously gives of his time to be on this program so that we can benefit from his wonderful, wonderful wisdom. Mark, thanks. Good morning.
I love the fact that you said I have wisdom. If I'm going to need a CD recording of that, Bruce, so I can play that for my parents.
Done.
Oh.
You know, because I can't even tell you how often.
No problem. We'll send you a T-shirt. Wisdom is me.
You want to give us their address? We'll send them a card. Your son is wise.
Yeah, they'd be like, yeah, I'm not really sure you're talking to the right one.
I have to tell you, Mark, I ran into yet another Legatus member who was there the evening you came into town to give a talk, and they are still just taken aback and just filled, frankly, with the joy of the evening. They just were bowled over, and here you're supposed to be ministering to teenagers, and here you've helped all these middle-aged men. They just thought you were inspiring.
Oh, praise God. I really enjoyed my time out there with the Legatus group. It's what a wonderful group of people.
Well, we have to get you back here for some other events as well.
Oh, I would love to. That was just I really enjoyed myself that night. That was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, Mark, last week we were talking about finding joy and how times when we're overwhelmed by things that come in our life, we really need to kind of stand down and find those, as you put it, those five stones to help you with navigating your life to really center you on Jesus Christ.
Oh, and just an update from last week, I did find my fifth stone.
Okay.
Good. So we're okay. All right.
Oh, thank goodness.
For anybody who was worried, I just right. wanted to put that in there.
But Mark, I think we want to talk a little bit about today on the program. What happens when there are times where you just kind of get overwhelmed?
Well, you know, what's interesting in Scripture, you know, and I think we mentioned this a couple weeks back when we were talking about Virginia Tech and all the terrible things that had occurred there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, it says in the Gospel of John, in your life you will have trouble. And I thought that was always pretty interesting. You know, he didn't say in your life you might have trouble. In your life, if you sin, you'll have trouble. Mm-hmm. He says in your life you will have trouble. The apostles, even after Christ had risen from the dead and they went through Pentecost, they were empowered with the Holy Spirit and they went about the world, they had trouble. I mean, a lot of it. St. Paul, look no further than 2 Corinthians 11. You want to talk about trouble, read 2 Corinthians 11 and see what he went through.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about getting shipwrecked and beaten and, I mean, like, literally imprisoned, like, run for your life. I mean, there's a recent, you know, it's being a martyr, it gets you noticed in the church, it gets you a feast day, it does not win you any popularity contests. That's why they're a martyr.
Yep.
You know, and it really is. Life can be very difficult, be very overwhelming. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, when we go through suffering, the first thing people do is say, why God? Why me, God? Why did you, God? Why would you, God? And we usually look at it, and a lot of times people can blame God for suffering, you know, or blame God for hard times, when really it's sin.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is the reason we suffer. Sin is the reason we go through hard times. God does not will, you know, us to be in misery. God does not will us to be in pain. You know, that suffering either comes from our own sin or the sins of others. And sometimes God allows that suffering because he knows that through suffering we'll draw closer to him. He knows through suffering we'll draw closer to Christ and we'll become more like Christ. So sometimes in his will, he's permissive will, he allows suffering. But it's not God's will for us to suffer greatly. It's not God's will for us to be in misery. You know, he really ultimately desires our greatest joy.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we suffer is that is usually because of our own sin, because of our own decisions.
Mm. I am recalling of a homily that I heard from a pastor that I worked for at one of the parishes here in town, and he always said to the young couples, he said, I wish for you, I know you're so happy today and the future looks so bright, and he said, but I hope that you someday have hard times, because it's in those hard times that you will grow closer not only to each other, but you'll also grow closer to God.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, amen. And I remember a homily one time at a very difficult funeral I went to, just an awful, awful situation. And there was just, it was so hard. It was one of those ones where it was just so hard to see and to see God's hand in it. It was so hard to say. It was just a senseless act of violence.
Oh wow!
So hard to see God's hand in it, to sense His presence in it. It was one of those times. There's no words to console a family. It was just a brutal, awful time. And I remember the priest looking at the mother and father who lost their teenager and said, he said, "There's a special place in heaven reserved for those who suffer greatly."
Hmm.
And he said, "I've been a priest for 40 years. I've given, I've ministered the sacraments thousands of times. I've brought the Eucharist, before people. I've absolved people from their sins. I've wed, I've buried, I've anointed, I've baptized." He says, and honestly, he says that, but I've never personally gone through intense suffering. And he looked at the mom and dad. He says, "The reality is, I've served God every day of my life for 40 years, and that there's a place in heaven reserved for you because of the suffering you've gone through." He's like, you'll know God in an intimate way far more deeply than I ever will. And I remembered it because it was such a beautiful sign of humility from the priest and a beautiful sense of condolence that he was expressing to the family. But I remembered it, too, because it somehow, even those words coming from a man they respected so much, did sort of bring some peace to the family. I remember that there's a visible change in their countenance. They kind of sprung up a little bit, like, wow, because I think in that time of intense suffering, a lot of times if we're the ones going through it, we forget.
Right.
We forget that God is still with us sometimes. We forget that God still loves us sometimes. It's easier for the third person, the outside party, to see it and to remind people. But sometimes if you're the one in the midst of it, you sort of forget that He's still with you.
I've seen that on the faces of kids whose parents are going through divorces. They come into the office, or their neighbor kids, or they're friends of my children, and there's and having experienced that myself growing up, there's a unique suffering, just a pain, and like, why us? Why can't? And there's almost a hopelessness.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, certainly, and honestly, this is where. And last week we were talking about kind of more funny times and random times, simple times we find God. But this is where the Psalms are so important. There's a reason. Like, we have four readings every Sunday, not three.
Right.
The Psalm is a Sunday reading. And usually because it's sung or it's chanted or that sort of thing, sometimes we forget that it's an actual reading. But the Psalm does break out. It goes right along with the theme. Of every theme from every Mass. And the Psalms are beautiful. The Psalms come from King David. And what's great about the Psalms, the reason we have it in every Mass, is that the Psalms give us the totality of the human existence. That King David went from everything. He went from star, he went from hero to zero, back to hero, He went from just God's anointed one. And when you read the Psalms, you see the roller coaster of life. You see the highs and the lows. You don't just see it or hear it. You experience it. You can relate to it. I mean, you're talking about one week you're saying, "God, you are my refuge, you're my stronghold, and you, my enemies have no bearing, that you exalt me, you protect me, you go before me." And the next week he's saying, "God, I have forsaken you. I have the dirt beneath your heels. I'm just awful. I'm scum. You're great. Why do you love me?" And then there's times you feel abandoned and times you feel victorious. And that's just life. It's the beauty of life. The totality of the human existence are found in the Psalms. And in Psalm 71, it says just so simply but so beautifully, it says, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." And this is when David is referring back to, he's like, I used to trust you. I always hoped in you. You're the one, God. Like, what happened to me? And I have to get back to that. He's saying, I have to get back to the way I used to trust you. I have to get back to the way I used to love you. Like, where did I get so jaded? Where did I get so hardened? When did my heart turn from you? Why did I become sinful?
Right.
And honestly, that really is, that can lead us into spiritual depression and spiritual droughts. Life can lead us into spiritual droughts, it can lead us into emotional wastelands. A lot of the time we end up in those, and I'm not talking about just chemical, like clinical depression right now, I'm talking about just kind of the lighter emotional, spiritual depression times,
right,
that everybody goes through, those times of drought where you feel like you're praying and your prayers just hit the ceiling and don't even get up to heaven, they just kind of fall back down on you, or those times when you just can't sense God, you can't understand God, you just, why are you letting this happen or that happen, when your prayer feels arid, when your sin or your shame or your guilt seem overwhelming, those times when even getting to the sacrament of reconciliation seems to be just a daunting, overwhelming task, in those kinds of times, that's when these simple everyday things of depression and things like that really start to mount. And over time, they start to have really serious physical effects where we really grow. I mean, we grow in stress. We grow in bitterness. We grow in loneliness or anger. And every part of our being that started a spiritual separation from God because of sin, every part of our being now starts to reflect this period of drought we're in, and it starts to have really serious physical effects on us.
Mark, don't you think that, you know, so often in our Christian reflection, we look at the cross, we look at Good Friday, the crucifixion and the sacrifice that Christ made for us and how he entered into suffering too, and then we have Sunday, which is the resurrection, the joy to look forward to, what is the hope? But sometimes I think it's important to reflect, and I think what you're saying, there are holy Saturdays. There's that in-between time where there's a waiting.
You know, amen. Absolutely. What you just said is so wise in its simplicity. For most people, Holy Saturday, if they think about it, is, oh, okay, this is the in-between time. This is where Jesus is in the tomb. And he's still not alive. He's in the tomb. But you know, the tomb can be viewed as a place of death or a place of resurrection. It depends on your perspective.
That's right.
It's sort of the glass is half empty, glass is half full kind of thing. The tomb, yes, is where they laid the dead body, and it was a place of death. However, Christ paradoxically changed the tomb forever. The tomb is also where the resurrection occurred. The resurrection, you know, he resurrected in the tomb, moved the stone, and walked out. He didn't resurrect in the garden.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and the tomb, those darkest times when we feel like we're dark, we feel like there's a boulder in front of our heart, in front of our life, and we feel like we're just reeling and we're in the darkness, and maybe we even feel like we've like lost our breath, like we're dead. That is a place. That's where the resurrection's going to occur. It's in that moment that God is going to act. You know, God was present. God was there at Good Friday. God was there at the cross. You know, but certain things, certain events needed to transpire. And God acted on Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. You know, that was where that resurrection occurred, was at the tomb. You know, so I think the first step for anybody, for all of us, is to really grow in self-awareness, is to really realize, am I in that spiritual drought right now? Am I in my life right now? Do I feel like I'm suffering greatly? You know, is it Good Friday? Is it Holy Thursday? Do I feel like suffering is coming? I feel like bad things. I mean, how often do we get so consumed by the stress of the what if?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, what if? Those are two dangerous words in Christianity, because they can. What if are two of the devil's favorite words, because the what if can bind you and suffocate you and paralyze you with fear.
Boy, you got
what
that right.
What if my health worsens? What if they get divorced? What if this person leaves me? What if this happens at work? What if? I mean, just on and on and on. And we get so consumed with, you know, the future, what that might hold, and so consumed with the future that we're missing God in the present. You know, so sometimes we're, you know, in the night of Holy Thursday, you know, we're saying, okay, well, oh my gosh, what about what's going to happen next? You know, and then sometimes we're in the midst of the suffering of Good Friday, where we really are in a turbulent time, and sometimes we've just gone through suffering, and we're just sort of in that daze, and we're sort of walking around just wide eyed and, you know, disillusioned, like Holy Saturday. You know, we just kind of feel like we're just emotionally drained and we're dead. You know, but that's also where resurrection can occur. You know, and then we're on Easter Sunday and everything's great. And I think what it takes is for us to be able to pull back and say, okay, Lord, you know, like the psalm says, you are my hope. You are my hope. You are the one that in my sinlessness, in my joy, in my purity of my youth, you're the one I trusted in. Help me get back to that, no matter where I am on this journey. And I think we have to grow in self-awareness. There's certain things we can look at in ourselves and be able to more directly discern, is this Holy Saturday right now in my soul? Is this Good Friday? You know, what is really going on?
Yeah. You know, Mark, it's a very good point. And I had my spiritual director some years ago tell me, I was going through a period where I was feeling kind of dark, separated, like a lot of things were closing in. I wasn't sure how to make decisions and so on and so forth. And he said, I'm going to convey to you probably one of the darkest periods that any human being went through on the earth. And he said, I want you to contemplate what it would like to be Peter on Holy Saturday. You know, here you have spent time with the Lord. He's spoken to you about everything that will come. You've forgotten that. You're afraid. You're frightened. Your master is dead in your mind. And you denied him three times. You know, and just put yourself into that situation of being Peter on Holy Saturday. That what he must have been going through, you know, as a human being, emotionally and everything else. He goes, just if you think about that, it'll probably make a lot of the things individually that we're going in kind of pale in comparison. And yet the hope is that we know the end of that story. You know, I mean, we know the resurrection occurred. We know what awaits us. You know, Christ has told us, he's promised us. And that's where you need to go to find your hope. But as we've been talking about, you really do need that Holy Saturday experience. And I think God knows that sometimes, that in order to get closer to him, we need to experience a little of this internal, and we bring it on ourselves, you know, this pain and this anguish of just those moments where we just don't trust in the words that the Lord gave us.
Oh, amen. Amen, Bruce. And you know what you were just saying is so poignant about St. Peter, you know, like that Holy Saturday was so bad. And this really follows, you know, there's that beautiful line in Luke that says, you know, that after he denied him the third time, and it says, and when Peter was in the courtyard, and it says in Luke 23, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter,
yeah,
and their eyes met. And you have to believe that that moment, that image, that vision, eye-to-eye contact with the man he had just denied, with his Savior, had to have just been burned into his subconscious.
Yeah.
All Friday, all Saturday. I mean, really, until he saw him face to face again, resurrected. That must have been the last image he had really burned into his mind.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've often found my most powerful prayer is when I am overwhelmed, when I am stressed, when I am really, you know, getting to that point of depression. And again, I'm not talking about clinical depression. Depression needs to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people need to seek professional help. You know, a lot of times people don't want to go talk to a counselor or psychiatrist, that kind of, because it makes them feel weird. There's nothing wrong
with
going to a counselor. It is a beautiful opportunity to get a new perspective, a fresh perspective. And, you know, honestly, the word perspective just means to be able to look through something. It's that someone else, you know, they can look at the big picture, not just the small picture. Sometimes we're in the water and we feel like we're drowning, you know, but someone else's perspective can say, hey, move 2 feet to the right and your feet will be on the ground, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's important, you know. But honestly, I just can't even, the strongest prayers I've had have been in those moments when I've just pulled my car into the parking lot of the church, walked into the chapel, fallen on my knees before the Blessed Sacrament, and just said, God, I am stressed.
Yeah.
Lord God, I am stressed, and I know that that you do not want this for me. I know that it is not your will, that I feel like I am carrying the world on my shoulders. It says in Matthew 6:34, you know, don't have anxiety for tomorrow, okay? Don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough to worry about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And literally, those moments when you can just, I mean, what a pure prayer. And I don't care if you are a 40-year-old businessman, if you're a 30-year-old stay-at-home mom, if you're a 16-year-old who's having trouble in chemistry, if you're 75 years old and you have health issues, I don't care how old you are, I don't care what gender you are, I don't care how smart you are, I don't care how uneducated you are, it doesn't matter. To go into the house of God, fall on your knees before the Creator of the universe, you know, and basically that's what Psalm 71, that's what David was doing. He was saying, Lord, you're my hope, you're my trust. Just to go in and fall on your knees and say, Lord, I'm overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
I am overwhelmed. And I need you to help me. And that overwhelmed prayer is a beautiful prayer, not just to pray when things are going bad. When God overwhelms you with blessings, when he overwhelms you with something good, you know, I remember that I was praying the same prayer. It's interesting. The overwhelmed prayer was the same prayer I prayed after we went through miscarriage. It was the same prayer I prayed after our second daughter was born.
Right.
You know, I mean, the utter times of utter agony and utter joy, it's the same prayer. Just, Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by your love for me in those good times, Lord. I'm overwhelmed by your belief in me in the bad times, that you really think I'm able to go through all this. I'm overwhelmed, Lord. Thank you for thinking so much of me. Please stop thinking so much of me.
Yeah.
But there really is something beautiful, something pure about saying that and about being able to really proclaim it. Like, Lord, really, I am overwhelmed by you, and I don't even know where to go from here.
I think that's this reiterates an important fact that you have really impressed upon us in all these months, Mark, is the value of this tremendous gift of Scripture that has been passed down to us to be manna for us in many ways, to be able to help us, I mean, to go back and to have the Psalms and to have those experiences of early Christians who struggle so much like we do. And to be able to take that and to know it and to allow it to incorporate into our lives so we can fall back on it.
Amen. And it was so funny when when Bruce was mentioning that scene with Peter. I got into a really fun debate over dinner one time with a very beloved priest friend of mine, and he kept referring to Peter as the Pope of Pentecost. You know, mm-hmm. And, once Pentecost hit, that's when he became the Pope. And I got into a debate with him. I said, Father, I understand what you're saying theologically, and you're absolutely correct, and I agree with what you're saying. I said, however, you know, I said he was Pope. Well before Pentecost, you know, he was Pope when Jesus called him Satan, okay?
Mm. Yeah.
He gave him the keys of the kingdom, you know, basically. Mm-hmm. The same time he said, you know, get behind me, Satan, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, yes, he was empowered by the Spirit of Pentecost in a very unique way, but it was still the Peter that Bruce just referred to about, who was just desolate and destroyed on Holy Saturday. He's the one that locked eyes with him after betraying him. That is still the sinful, you know, the sinful, fragmented, messy reality man that God chose mm-hmm. to be the symbol and the vicar for Christ on earth. You
wow.
know, and we should put great hope in that, tremendous hope in that, that if God saw enough in Peter, given all of his misgivings, to impart upon him that great grace and that great responsibility, I mean, how much better off are we now in knowing that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I just want to amplify, too, scripturally what Chris was talking about. And Mark, you see this constantly woven through your books and the discussions we're having, is that no matter what we're feeling, no matter what position we find ourselves in, because Christ came and shared in our humanity and through a lot of great prophets and gospel writers and everything else, we can find scripture for every single emotion, everything that we need help and guidance on in scripture.
Amen. Amen. And honestly, if you don't own a concordance, get one.
Yep.
They're available online. They're available in every Christian Catholic, you know, bookstore. Catholic would be even better, but Christians, I mean, if you only have a Christian concordance, that's good too. There's even some concordances you can kind of find if you really search hard here and there online. And for those who aren't familiar with it, a concordance just breaks down all the different verses in Scripture based upon word or upon theme.
Right.
So say that you're going through a hard time and you're looking for a verse on hope, you know, and you can look up hope, and it'll give you every verse in the Bible that lists the word hope. And you can just, you know, take some time and go through each one, you know, and a concordance really is for if you feel like you're a scripture novice, like you don't know where to start, it can become a really good friend to you. And not only to you in times for your own personal prayer and reading and that kind of thing, but it can become a great prayer, a great help for you when you want to start to share scripture with others,
mm-hmm.
when they're going through a hard time, when they're going through everything from you want to find the perfect verse for someone's marriage or confirmation to put in a card, to someone's going through death in their family and in some relationships, and you want to find some verses for condolence and that sort of thing. It really is a wonderful thing to have on your shelf.
Oh, absolutely fantastic advice, and I took you up on that immediately after when you first mentioned it months ago, and I find myself pulling it out even as I sit here at work and just constantly use that just to refer to all those different aspects, all those different emotions, everything. It's just it's a wonderful tool.
It's a bouquet.
Yeah, a bouquet. What a guy thing to say, kind of.
Take the guy who's secure in his masculinity.
That's right.
Word bouquet. Go.
I'm sensitive. I can bouquet with the best.
Well,
of them.
I still think Mark Hart has wisdom extraordinaire, and I'm going to get you a shirt. I've decided that you can wear when you go over to your parents' house. It says "Wise Guy."
Now you
okay.
know what? Now that they would look at and say completely appropriate.
Yeah.
You could take that many different ways. The wise guy.
I mean, to say she's like, but you're such. She used to call me a smart mouth. So if I could, just think, wise guy. I mean,
yeah.
That's great.
How about that guy's wise? Well, Mark, as always, what a blessing to have you with us.
Oh, yes, it is. Tremendous. Tremendously so.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me hang out with everybody.
We thoroughly enjoy it. And again, we want to encourage everyone to get to lifeteen.com, sample everything going on there, and also pick up a copy of Mark's latest book, Ask the Bible Geek 2, More Answers to Questions from Catholic Teens. Now, boy, I'll tell you, the adults here are benefiting from that as well.
Yeah, I don't think Mr. Carroll's even passed that on to his kids yet. I think he's still reading it.
Yeah.
I think we should get him Ask the Bible Geek 1 so the kids can at least start on that one.
There we go.
Yeah.
That works.
Well, I hope he's not listening right now because then that's going to spoil the surprise.
Ah.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oops.
Oh, well.
It was great to talk to you guys.
Never mind, Mr. Carroll. Thanks,
yeah,
Mark. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we were talking about you, Mr. Carroll, boss.
God bless you all.
God bless you,
bye,
too.
Bye, Mark.
Bye-bye.